96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Every parent wants their child to do well in school, and many parents spend hundreds, even thousands of dollars on the very latest early coaching programs, even time with tutors. But my guests say there are techniques you can use with your very young children that cost you very little or even nothing at all. Joining me to talk about this are Richard Reyes-Gavilan. He is the executive director of the D.C. Public Library, and Melanie Seabrooks, a D.C. teacher specializing in early childhood education. If you have a question or comment about this, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can also comment on my Facebook page at facebook.com/HaroldTFisher, or follow me on Twitter at DailyDrumWHUR. Melanie and Richard, thank you both for joining me.
You're welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, so what is it? What are these things, Richard, that cost little or nothing that will really help propel your children into the educational stratosphere?
Well, it's pretty simple. It's called singing, talking, and reading to children.
Mm-hmm.
Communication, frankly. I think what experts have learned over the past 10 or 15 years is that hearing words for preschool children is crucially important to their educational development later in life. So a lot of parents think it's just reading books, but it's actually hearing words. And it could be singing songs to kids. It could be talking to them about your day. It could be reading the instructions on a you know, how to fix a bike. It's mm-hmm. it's just getting words into kids' heads is really an incredibly valuable and inexpensive tool to get kids ready for school.
How does that work? Without getting into, you know, a medical explanation, but how are young children receiving this information, and what ages are we talking about? Because some parents, they read to their children while they're still in the womb. That's mm-hmm. not what you're talking about, though.
Well, look, I'm not an expert on prenatal reading, but I've actually heard that that's also something. So D.C. Public Library has a program called STAR. Mm-hmm. It's called Sing, Talk, and Read. And it is a program focused on children from 0 to 5. And so we are talking about kids who are they're just preschool age kids. And the tips and tricks that we give parents and caregivers is really starting when they're born. Start singing, start reading, start pointing out things that you see in the world, in the environment. You know, one of the things that we know is that, some parents and caregivers have literacy issues themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not necessarily reading the words on a page. I mean, if you've got a picture book, you might just want to point to the pictures that you see and describe, well, this is a tree and this is a guy driving a car and I wonder where he was going. So just making things up. The key component is getting words swimming around in the brains of young children.
Interesting. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about reading, singing, and talking to your children as a way to really boost their knowledge down the road. Melanie, you've been in early childhood education for more than 2 decades.
Yes.
Do you agree with what Richard is saying? And what are your thoughts about them? What's been your experience?
Yes, absolutely. Richard made some excellent points. A lot of times we find that children are in an environment where they're being asked yes or no questions. And so what he's talking about, even if it's a picture book, expounding on that or giving them the vocabulary, that's a big piece of what we do in the classroom, is just providing them with words they may not have heard before, giving them alternate meanings to words. And so exposing them to giving them a picture, vocabulary picture to go with the words, so they're really understanding it and making it a part of their daily daily vocabulary. So in the classroom, we see a lot of that in their play. So when they're interacting with other students, they're using the words that we've taught them through the books and the pictures in their conversation. And so they can go home and have richer conversations with their parents and families. A lot of it, I really like the program, the STAR program, because it also incorporates the singing as well. And we do a lot of singing in our classroom. And people ask, you know, can I sing?
I was going to say, what happens if you can't carry a tune?
I can't sing a lick. But my kids love to hear me sing, and we make up songs on the spot. And they'll remember those. I've had colleagues tell me that from their educational career, they remember songs that their teachers taught them to remember the forest floor and the rainforest. So singing is
the
very
forest floor and yes. The, what's the forest floor? And
well, there are different layers of a rainforest, and so there's the forest floor, there's the canopy, there's the brush.
You can go ahead and give us a...
Oh, no, thank you.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about reading and singing and talking to children at an early age and how it can positively impact educational success. Let me go to the phone lines. Monica calling from Capitol Heights. Thanks for calling, Monica. What's on your mind?
Hi.
Hi.
I'm an education major myself.
Good for you.
Thank you. And I feel that what a lot of parents...
Go ahead, Monica. Gosh, Monica, give us a call back. For some reason, we've lost you. You may have even pushed a button. So if you call back, we will definitely take your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. How do you know, Richard, that this works? Can you give me some stats on how children who have been a part of this kind of early childhood education have succeeded as opposed to those who have not?
Yeah, well, I mean, I might defer to Melanie on some of these stats, but there was a landmark study done over a decade ago that has turned into something that is sort of a rallying cry for early childhood education, and this is something called the 30 million word gap. Mm-hmm. And the 30 million word gap was a study that was designed to test the amount of words that kids from poor families were getting into their heads or hearing versus kids in families that were more well-to-do. And these researchers found out that over the course of their first 3 or 4 years, kids in families that were relatively well-off were actually hearing 30 million more words in those first few years of life than the kids from poor families, and that was there was a strong corollary between that knowledge and success in school. So, Melanie, you probably know about this.
Yeah. Why were more affluent families? Did they have more words, or how did that happen?
No, I think it's more about what I was speaking to before about parents and. And poor families are just asking yes or no questions. It's about utility. It's about getting through the day. Did you eat? Did you drink? Are you ready for bed? Yes, no. Whereas children in more affluent families are hearing more conversation. People are speaking more to them and using more verbose words. So they're asking them their opinion on things. And I think a lot of times people don't feel that little ones have opinions, and they have a lot of opinions.
I'm sure they do.
And so, yes, they do. We've done studies about it now, and I'm currently using a curriculum, the ECR curriculum.
ECR?
Every Child Ready curriculum.
Okay.
Through Apple Tree and Joe's Champs, they've created a curriculum completely designed to bridge that gap. And so we're reading books, we're reading well-loved books, books that have been around for years, and asking questions in the middle of our reading. And that's what I really would like to encourage parents to do, not only when you're reading, to read the book, but to stop and ask those questions. So you're going to ask them, if you're reading Good Night Moon, what do you see in this illustration? Mm-hmm. What pictures, what do you see? Like, what do you think they're going to do next? You know, really getting those comprehension questions in, because the point is you want to get them talking. So not only are they hearing words from you, but they know that their words have value and that you're listening to them as well.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. 1410. Talking about reading, talking, and singing to your children, let's go to the phone lines. Trina. Trina calling from Bowie. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi.
I'm
a parent. I'm not an educator. But when both of my children were little, I would sing, talk, read to them. When I would tell them stories before they went to bed, they were always in the story. They would help me tell the story because we always made it up. I never read from a book.
Wow.
My son began reading at the age of 3. When he was in preschool, his teachers would not believe me when I told them that he could read. So one day, one of the teachers held up a paper, and she said, "Can anybody read this paper?" And he was the only one who raised his hand. She said, "What does it say?" He said, "Preschool progress report." Believe me then. But everything they're saying is true. If you do all of these things when the children are age 6 months and older, believe me, the vocabulary will grow. My son would have a conversation with an adult, and they would forget they were talking to a kid. It's very important, extremely important.
Okay. Trina, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Real quick, what do you think about that, putting kids in the story? I think it's a novel idea.
Yes, we do that all the time.
Wow. Okay, there you go. Let's go to James. James calling from Largo. James, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. My story is just a little, is a duplicate of the last one. My mother read to me while I was inside of her and constantly read to me and told stories during the nighttime as well, and I did very well in school, especially on the vocabulary tests. And similar to what the lady in just previous mentioned, when I was reading, I don't think I was had a good conversation at the time. I was 3, but they said 4, I could run my mouth and actually do sentences as well, pretty good. And I think one of the old school things that happened was I used to ask my mother what that word was. She used to say, "That dictionary cost me $100. Go to it."
Okay. Well, there you go, James. Thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Before I go back to the phone lines, can you briefly, Richard, talk to me about the plans in progress of renovating the MLK Library? I know there's been a lot of discussion about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll tie it to our discussion tonight. So at the end of this year, we're planning to close the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial Library downtown on 9th and G Street for a 3-year modernization. And we're going to turn it into the most spectacular destination for lifelong learning that this city has ever seen, with 15,000 square foot children's library with all sorts of tactile learning and even a long slide that will take you from the second floor down to the first floor. We're building.
I want to do that.
It's,
well, maybe you can be our test. just sign a waiver and we'll see
you
how it
do
goes.
That.
But so we're building it right now. The MLK Library, if you're familiar with it, you know, it's a 45 or so year old library, and it's not very much fun. It's not very inspirational. You come in there, you kind of feel down or depressed a little bit. And so we are completely and utterly renovating it, kind of scooping out all the insides. It's a landmark building, so we can't tear it down, but we will be completely changing inside, and we're going to make it inspirational and fun, and we're really thinking about kids and how they can learn and how their parents are going to want to come from all over the region to say, "I want to go to that space and hang out there all day."
Looking forward to it, I'm sure. I need to take a break, but if you were on the phone, Monica from Capitol Heights, Tyrone from Washington, D.C., Kenny from Upper Marlboro, and Tony from Columbia, please stay on the line. Do not hang up. You will be able to hear the program. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. Phone lines are still open. We are still taking calls. Want to hear about your experiences. We're also going to talk a little bit about techniques to really help engage your young child. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment.